Welcome to the podcast of Grace Community Bible Church. We hope and pray that you are blessed, challenged, and inspired by this message. For other sermons or other information, visit us at gracebiblechurch.org.au.
Well, our general topic is prayer, and our particular topic in this session is repentance and lament. Let me begin by just talking a bit about prayer. When I was converted, I started reading missionary biographies, and most missionaries I read about tended to set their alarm for 3 o'clock in the morning and get up and pray for 4 hours before they got down to the day's work. So I thought this must be what Christians do. So at the age of 16, I used to set my alarm clock for 3 a.m. to get up to pray for 4 hours or 5 hours. I'd kneel down next to my bed and fall asleep immediately and wake up 4 hours later with a stiff neck and a guilty conscience. And my prayer life has never flourished, I think. I wish I could say to you that I'm a person who just naturally prays. But I find prayer difficult. I don't know why that is. It must be some serious deficiency in my diet, I think, or something like that. But I have to discipline myself to pray. But I've been learning more about prayer recently. And so I've been praying more as well. But when I talk to people about prayer, they usually feel guilty. So let me say to you that God loves the prayers you pray at present. He loves every prayer you pray. But he also wants to enrich our praying. So think of this for a moment. Imagine if my house was destroyed in an earthquake and I came to live with you. Be very kind of you. I'd bring some books and a piano and my current pets, which are dust mites, and I'd settle down in your house. I stayed with you for a month or so, eating your food, watching your television, using your bath when you wanted to. But imagine I didn't ever talk to you, living in your house but not talking to you. You would think that was very odd behavior, wouldn't you? What a rude man, you'd think. Living in my house and not talking to me. Well, that's actually what it's like to live in God's world and not talk to him. Or think of one of the joys of having good friends, and God has given me many good friends, I must say, I'm so thankful to him, but not finding time to talk to them. The friendship would soon wither away, wouldn't it, if you didn't have time to talk to your friends? That's the point of having friends, isn't it? Is you can talk to them. And so that's the point of God making us his friends, so we'll talk to him. And Jesus died so we could come into God's presence. So Jesus died to enable us to come into God's presence and talk to him. So talking to God must be pretty important, mustn't it? And God put his Holy Spirit into us to prompt us to pray. So just think how God's at work when you pray. God the Holy Spirit's at work in you, prompting you to pray. And Jesus is taking your prayer and presenting it to our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father is listening to our prayer. The Holy Spirit is prompting us to pray. God's inside us, prompting us to pray. Jesus takes our prayers and hands them over, speaks them to our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father loves to hear our prayers. in John Calvin's Catechism. He has the question, can we be sure that God our Father hears our prayers? He has a beautiful answer. He says that God our Father hears our prayer from the lips of his Son. Isn't that amazing? Where is the Son of God seated? At the Father's right hand. So we may think that our prayers don't go any further than the ceiling, however high the ceiling is, but actually Jesus takes our prayers and speaks our prayers as our high priest to God, our Heavenly Father. So even the prayers we think and don't actually speak out loud, God our Father hears all our prayers. What a privilege that is. Isn't that amazing? So I think a good thing to do is to ask God to increase our trust in him and so our prayers to him. I've always prayed first thing in the morning, but in the last year I've been practicing praying during the day, at odd times during the day. So if I see a beautiful tree, I say, thank you, Father, for that lovely tree which you made. If I see somebody who's looking a bit sad, I say, dear Father, I pray for that person that you'd bring some joy into their life. When I'm driving, I pray for other drivers that they'd be very careful of me, as I pray that I'd be very careful of them as well. And often when I go for a walk, as I do for a bit of exercise, I'll pray for each house, the people who live in each house as I pass the house, that God would bring them to know him. In fact, I was talking about this kind of all the time praying last year in January it was, and a lady said to me the next week, well, I drive to work for an hour a day and then I drive home again, and so I decided that I wouldn't turn the radio on but I'd pray for an extra 2 hours a day. Isn't that sensible? What a great thing to do. You have to keep your eyes open, you understand, if you're driving a car. But you can talk to God at any time, can't you? Doing the dishes? Why don't you pray? Finding life a bit boring? Why not pray? Enjoying something? Why not thank God? Praise him. Worrying about something? Why not turn the worry into a prayer? It's a great thing to do with worries. Martin Luther said to his wife, Katie, pray and let God worry. It's very good advice, isn't it? So it's good for us to think, I'm just talking in general now, of ways in which we can increase our prayerfulness. And by the way, when I'm speaking at ministers' conferences, I often say, I'm hoping to see that during the conference that I'll see some of you praying together after a conversation. It's a good thing to happen after church. When I'm chatting to people after church, my policy is that after I've talked with them, I will pray with them unless I think it's really not an appropriate thing to do. And I encourage friends, Christian friends, to pray together. If you don't pray with your Christian friends, there's something odd happening. And if you're a married couple and don't pray, there's something odd happening. And if you're parents and don't pray with your children, then something bad is happening, or rather something good isn't happening. So let's not just think of our own prayers, but praying with other people as well, as often as possible. All right, Let's focus now on repentance and lament. Repentance is repenting of a sin, and lamenting is lamenting things which are bad in the world or our lives, but which are not sins. Some people don't ever repent of their sins, despite the fact the Lord's Prayer, in the Lord's Prayer we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." So, would you all shut your eyes, please? And would those who confess their sins every day put their hands up, please? Good, thank you. Well, it's a really good habit at the end of every day to reflect on your life. Thank God for the good things He's given you. Praise Him for His goodness, but also think back on the day and think what you've done wrong and confess it to God. And indeed, it's a good practice to get into that every time you do something wrong, you immediately ask God for forgiveness. And there's one prayer to which God's answer is always yes, and the answer comes immediately, and that is, "Please forgive me for this sin." God always says yes. And no matter how bored you are with confessing the same sin, God just loves hearing us confess our sins, because He sent His Son to forgive us our sins. So we sing about Jesus' death on the cross. We sometimes think, well, that's about Jesus dying for people who aren't Christians. They need their sins forgiven. But dear brothers and sisters, we all need our sins forgiven every day. And if you don't know what your daily sins are, then please ask God to show you. And when you sin, please confess your sin to God and receive His forgiveness. The wonderful promise in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Not only forgive us, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I reckon I confess about 30 sins a day. Some days 50, some days I forget and only do about 20. Repenting of our sins is really important. And lamenting to God, saying to God how sad we are, how anxious we are, is a really important thing to do as well. But let me explain the difference between repentance and lament. I was in Scotland speaking at a service there were lots of ministers there, and we were crowded into the pews, and the minister said, the minister next to me, whom I didn't know, said, "I'm a murderer." So I could have edged away from him rather anxiously. Anyway, it turned out when he was 18, he murdered somebody and was sent to prison. And in prison, he became a Christian and then felt called to the ministry. So left prison and trained for the ministry, and he was now a minister. Isn't that wonderful? And he said, "I always feel second rate because I'm a murderer." I said, "Well, you shouldn't worry about that. Saul killed lots of Christians before he became an apostle, so you're in really good company." But we talked about the murder that he'd done, and I said, "Do you have contact with the family of the man you've murdered?" And he said, yes, I go to see them once a year. As we talked, he had repented of the sin of murder, and God had forgiven him, but he still lamented the sadness of having murdered somebody, and lamented the sadness of the family who'd lost their son and brother. Do you see the difference? He had to repent of the sin of murder, but he could lament the damage he had done. And I think that about my own life. I repent of the sins I've committed, and God has forgiven me in his kindness, but I still lament the damage my sins did to me, and lament the damage my sins did to other people. Do you see the difference? You repent of something you've done wrong. You lament the bad effects of things you've done wrong. Often people confuse the two and they go on repenting though they've been forgiven. That's why it's important to distinguish between repentance and lament. Well, let me talk to you about repentance first of all. Repentance is not remorse. We repent to God when we acknowledge our sin and turn from it. In remorse, we feel sorry for ourselves. Or in modern public life, rather than repenting, leaders often express sorrow that others have been hurt. I was amazed recently to hear the state government responding to the level of air pollution in Spencer Street Station. Asked for a comment, they said, "The health of the users of Spencer Street Station is our highest priority." I thought, well, if it was your highest priority, you would have done something about it. I mean, what a stupid thing to say. It's our highest priority. But you hear that again and again, don't you? The safety of our customers is our highest priority. Well, it obviously isn't, because your customers are in trouble or something like that. And people in public are so reluctant to say, we did something wrong. They say, we're really sorry that people were hurt. But they don't say, we did something wrong. Indeed, I was talking to a neighbour of mine whom I just met him, and he was a pie maker. So I thought that was really, I hadn't met a pie maker before, but he ran a pie making business. Anyway, he said that he had been a Christian, but now he wasn't a Christian anymore. And as we talked on, he said, related to this topic, he said, I've noticed that people never apologize anymore for having done something wrong. And I said, there's a bit of Christianity still inside you, isn't there? Because you know the difference between someone apologizing for having done something and saying, I'm sorry other people were offended or something like that. So when we feel remorse, we feel sorry for ourselves. When we repent, we're sorry towards God, and if necessary, we ask the forgiveness of other people as well. So when I was at school, I once pushed a boy down some concrete steps. He was a particularly repulsive boy, so if you'd been me, you would quite understand why I did it. He was a very unpleasant person. There was no malice involved, it was just that he deserved, I thought, being pushed down some steps. It was really important after I became a Christian that I confessed that sin to God and also asked his... Fortunately, he lived, so I could ask his forgiveness. Okay. So here are some words that begin with the letter R, like rabbit, which tell us the elements of repentance. Remember comes first. Remember that God loves you just as you are, but also loves you too much to leave you just as you are. Even while you sin, God is loving you. I read it on a blog recently. We often think when we repent, do you remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15? We often think when we sin, we're in the pigsty. But actually, if we're believers, we're not in the pigsty, we're in our Father's arms when we sin. So if you're a Christian and you sin, you're not in the pigsty, you're in your Father's arms. Isn't that amazing? So God loves us even as we sin. God loves you even as you sin. God loves you even as you sin the same sin a number of times a day. You're secure in God's love because you're in Christ. The next R is recognize that the sin is a sin against God. Feel and express sorrow for the sins you have done and also for the good you have not done. So we often think a sin is something we've done, but in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talks about sins as debts. The debt that we owe God is to love God. The debt we owe to other people is to love them. So you might hurt somebody else by doing something wrong, but you might hurt somebody else by failing to love them. Do you see the difference? So sometimes sins are things that we don't do but should do, and we need to recognize those as sins as well. Then next, R, renounce the sin, that is, distance yourself from it, reject it, detest it, separate yourself from it. It's not who you want to be. The next R is repent of the sin and the pleasure and benefits that resulted from the sin. So Zacchaeus, do you remember, stood up and said to the Lord Jesus, "Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." That was true repentance. So remember that God loves you. Recognize the sin as a sin against God and others. Renounce the sin. Repent of the sin. Next, receive the forgiveness and cleansing freely given by God through Christ's death on the cross. And believe, rejoice, praise, and thank Him. The next R is resolve to die to the sin in the future. Dying to sin is putting a sin to death and living to righteousness by the power of Christ's death and resurrection. I mentor young ministers, usually in their first few years of ministry, and I often ask them what sins they are confessing. Then I say, "I don't want to know what they are, I just want to know you are confessing your sins every day." And about 3 months later, I'll ask them, "What sins are you currently putting to death? What sins are you currently killing, not by your own power, but by the power of Jesus' death on the cross?" But Jesus' death on the cross was so powerful, it not only enabled our forgiveness, it also has the power that we can receive from Jesus to put a sin to death. As well as, of course, the power to defeat death, to end death, and to defeat Satan. Then resolve to do the opposite, the replacement. I remember the first time I read Ephesians 4:28 after I'd become a Christian. You might remember it. It says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather labor with his hands and give to those in need." And I remember thinking, that is just brilliant. If you're a thief, you've been wandering around thinking how you can steal money from people, you see? There's no money there. The bit of money there I might steal. See, so that's how you're thinking all the time. Opportunities to steal. The thief has to stop stealing and instead think, how can I give, not take? That's a massive change, isn't it? But the more the thief, the reformed thief, thinks, what can I give, then the less the thief will think, what can I take? So, if your habitual sin is gossip about people, then stop gossiping and start thinking of positive things you can say to build people up. If your sin is selfishness, which is one of my habitual sins, like many people, then ask God to make you more focused on other people than yourself and their welfare. These are very basic things, aren't they? But I want you to see that one good way of getting rid of a sin is to think of the good thing you should do instead. So one of the sins I've been trying to confess recently is my driving, because I've been driving for a long time, but my driving style was revenge, basically. So if somebody cut in front of me, I'd show them exactly what it felt like. That's right, yes. I have a very small car, which is so it's very foolish to do that to a very big bus or a very big truck, I might say. But I thought I was just kind of, I'd show them. So but what I now do, and I can do this for about an hour and a half, then it lapses, but if I pray before I drive, I can remember to pray that God would bless every other driver on the road, even the bad drivers. So you see, praying that God would bless them is the opposite of punishing them for their really bad driving by doing some bad driving of my own. Now, I have to do that on the way home, won't I? And restore the damage, if possible, to God and to others. Follow the example of Zacchaeus. Again, I give back half my possessions to the poor. When I was at school and not yet a Christian, I used to borrow keys to the school buildings and then get them copied. I never used the copies of the keys, but I just liked the power of being able to get into any of the school buildings. So I became a Christian my last year in school, so I decided I had to go along to the headmaster and hand back all these keys that I'd copied. Well, I said, I've become a Christian, so I've come to hand back all these keys to the school buildings. I'll explain which the keys were and so on. He was so surprised that he didn't get cross. He just said, thank you very much. I suppose he got free copies of the school keys from his point of view. So that was okay. And then rejoice in God's overwhelming grace, love, forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration. So that's about repentance. Let me talk to you now about lament. If you haven't been in the habit of repentance, may I encourage you to start repenting of your sins every day. If you haven't been in the habit of repenting, may I encourage you to learn to repent of your sins every day. Let's talk about lament. To lament is to express grief, sadness, pain, sorrow, despair, or frustration. I talked about that minister I met who'd been who'd murdered somebody. He had confessed his sin of murder, but of course he still lamented the damage he'd done by killing somebody and the great sorrow he had brought to that family. So, it's right for us to lament the results or consequences of our own sins. And our own sins have damaged us. Our own sins have damaged people we love. Our own sins have damaged our family, our husband or wife, our church. And we should lament the damage we've caused by our sins. We can also rightly lament the damage done to us by the sins of others. And if you think carefully about your life, you realize that you have suffered the effects of others' sins against you. They may have been unconscious of their sin against you, but they have sinned against you, and you can rightly and helpfully and healthily lament the effects of their sin on you. We should lament the results and consequences of our sins in our own life, our sins against people we love, the effects of our sins on our church, on our world. Next, we can also lament the results of the fall, the presence of illness around us. Sometimes some people cause their own illness by their own sins, but the illness around in our community is not always because somebody sinned. It's just because as human beings we are prone to illness because of the fall. We can lament our frailty as human beings. We can lament death as a result of the fall. We can lament the frustration and futility of human life. A friend of mine has just moved from studying to get his first job, and he came to see me so distressed because he's working in a medical practice as an administrator. But he said, There are kind of set ways to do things, but people fill in forms, the staff, I mean, they fill in forms the way they want to, so it's very hard to coordinate the information. And he said there's quite a lot of racism, actually, in the medical practice. And I said, well, I'm sorry to say that workplaces are like this. They are often inefficient, and they're often full of sin. That's the way workplaces are. So there are some better workplaces and some worse workplaces, but this is just the way human life is. It's subject to frustration and futility. And we can also lament what we call natural disasters, which are a result of the fall. We can also lament in churches, I think, gospel selfishness, gospel lethargy, a lack of global gospel prayer, and a lack of gospel workers, We can lament the billions of people who don't know Jesus Christ. We can lament the judgments of God on the church and the judgments of God on the world. And in terms of our world, we rightly lament the injustice in our world, the increasing gap between the rich and the poor, people who are oppressed, those who suffer from disease, famine, drought, or war. And we might well lament among Christians a lack of love, a lack of holiness, lack of prayer, lack of self-sacrifice, a lack of being willing to suffer to follow Christ, and a lack of gospel vision and energy. Now, lamenting may then lead us to intercession, to praying about these things, but lamenting is a good, a healthy response to the world around us and to the consequences of sin. I don't know if you remember that some people during COVID, the COVID lockdowns, stayed at home and listened to COVID news all day. What a depressing thing to do. And if you watch the news at night, as I do, it's so funny because the news presenter says good evening and then tells you why it isn't a good evening. Because it's interesting, isn't it, that the news is usually bad news. And why, I don't know why it is that people think that we want to hear bad news, except that bad news is more interesting than good news, which is very curious, isn't it? It says a lot about human beings. And often, the ABC, I listen to their news, and they often try and end up with a happy story at the end. It's not the weather, I can tell you that. The happy story might be they've found, a cure for fungus in frogs' feet. And you think, well, I'm very glad for the frogs, but it doesn't really counteract all the bad news from all the world around us. But I think the danger is that we hear so much bad news we can just feel paralyzed by it. Because I can't stop the war in Ukraine. I can't stop the conflict between Israel and Gaza. I can't stop famine. I can't stop drought. But I shouldn't then feel guilty about it. What I should do is lament and express my deep grief to God. So I want you to get into the practice of saying to God how sad you are about yourself or about your neighbours or about someone who's sick or about the world. It's a good thing to go to God to confess our sins. It's a good thing to go to God and lament sad things in the world. Indeed, I think it's necessary for us to go to God to confess our sins. And I think it's necessary for us to say to God our deep lament, distress, frustration, anxiety about our world. Here are some Bible people expressing their lament. Hannah said, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. That's a lovely description, isn't it? Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. Psalm 5, listen to my words, Lord, consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Psalm 142, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Gracious God, please teach us to confess our sins, and please teach us to lament. Gracious God, please make us confess our sins and make us lament. Gracious God, please hear our confession of our sins and forgive us. Please hear our lament and receive our grief and distress. In Jesus' name, amen.